This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God of love, open our hearts to receive you, to welcome you, to acknowledge your presence in our lives, that we may be bearers of Christ to all. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. There's this guy named Niels Bohr, and he lived in Copenhagen in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and he was a physicist, and he was really focused at one time in his life on the structure of the atom. And he couldn't figure it out, and he couldn't figure it out, and he couldn't figure it out. So he goes to bed, and he has a dream. And he pictured this ball in the center with all these things revolving around, and he woke up, and he knew the structure of the atom with the nucleus and the electrons and the protons circulating around. And he would go on to win the Nobel Prize for Physics in 1922. 1 year later, a guy by the name of Frederick Banting would go on to win the Nobel Peace Prize in medicine. His mother had died of diabetes, and he was determined to find a cure for that disease. They had been working on it and working on it, he and the other scientists, and they knew that insulin had something to do with it, but they hadn't quite put the connection together of how. So he was working so hard, and he too was very frustrated, goes to sleep, and in a dream, he realized what experiment he had to do to make the connection. And he did. Paul McCartney was also, something happened to him in a dream. You might say these men were awakened by a dream. He went to sleep, and in the middle of the night, he heard the entire tune of a song, and it kept playing over and over in his mind, and he woke up in the morning, and he went right to the piano, and he played it so that he wouldn't forget it. But he was sure that somebody must have come up with that tune because it was so easy and so familiar. And so for a long time, he made sure that he wasn't plagiarizing anybody. And he found out that he wasn't. And the words to the song hadn't come yet. But the words that he had went something like this. Forgive me, okay, for singing. Scrambled eggs. Oh, my baby, how I love your legs. Truth. This is a true story. But eventually, the words, the beautiful words to Yesterday would be known, and that would be one of the Beatles' all-time greatest hits. You might say he was awakened by a dream, by a dream. Last night, I don't know if any of you noticed, but The Wizard of Oz was on a couple of times last night. I was wrapping some Christmas presents. That whole story happened in a dream. Right? She had gotten hit on the head in the tornado, and the whole thing happened in some other dimension. And truth came of it. God never did give nothing to the Tin Man. No, Oz, sorry. Never did give nothing to the Tin Man that he didn't already have. Right? Awakened by a dream. And throughout time, people in the Bible were awakened in dreams and guided by their dreams, by their dreams. Abraham, Jacob, Jacob's son Joseph, the Pharaoh, King Solomon, Daniel, Pilate's wife even tried to convince him not to be involved in the crucifixion of Jesus because something had come to her in a dream. Didn't do much good, but she tried. She tried. And it is a dream in which Mary's fiancé, Joseph, decides to take her as his wife, even though he was in a horribly challenging situation. She had come to him. You know the story. She'd come to him. They were engaged to be married. She tells him that she's pregnant, and he knows that it isn't his child. And because he loved her, And because he was a righteous man, he decided to just break it off with her quietly and just kind of dismiss her so that she could go away, so that he wouldn't expose her to disgrace, and so that he probably also wouldn't expose her to death, because she could have been facing that as well. He was panicked, and in a dream, the angel came to him and told him, like angels always tell us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife, for she is carrying within her Jesus. And that's what you, Joseph, will name him. Because it was men then that named Joseph, and that would give him the direct lineage all the way back to David, through Joseph, mind you. And this divine lineage comes through Mary, comes through Mary. So when he woke up, he knew what he had to do. Awakened in all humility, to serving his wife and his newborn son. And in this same text that we just heard, the bottom line of this whole situation is this. It says, it took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. Bottom line for this whole thing happening. And what was that? This child will be born. This Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, which means God with us. So what does that mean for us? How are we supposed to take that then and move forward? We talked a lot last week about recognizing Christ in our midst and in and through one another. And that's mostly it. To live with that awareness of what Christ came to tell us, that in that awareness of Christ's presence, we are all united. And then taking the next step by developing a relationship with Christ and going deep with it. And deeper and deeper. You know, it's funny what connections to the gospel come through my head. But yesterday, I for some crazy reason, started taking a spin class. You know, I just want to get rid of some weight. And Roz, in the back, by the way, is the teacher of the spin class. And let me tell you, this is the real deal for exercise. I mean, you really, we're working hard. So we're spinning, and then she says to sprint, right? So we're sprinting, and I'm paddling. Felt like I was paddling up a stream. I'm paddling as fast as I can, sweat dripping, and she's this great encourager as a teacher, and she's saying, focus, don't give up. And at the hardest part, at least it was for me, she said, go to the deepest place within you and stay there. Keep your eyes closed if you have to. Keep pushing, don't give up. And I thought about the gospel. Go to the deepest place within you and stay there. And stay there. God is in our midst. And for us to go deep with that and be in that relationship and know that Hebrew word, yada, to really know God within us and through us. Not that we are God, but that we are unique expressions of God, and it's our job to figure out what that expression is in this world. Because you will have a unique expression like no one else when we are open to that presence of Christ within us. And then there's nothing that God cannot do through us. Now, you might be asking, who, me? And God would say, yes, you. If you look at Mary and you look at Joseph, they were thinking the same thing. They were just average, everyday people. And look what happened with them. Yes, you. Yes, me. Yes, us. And we will be amazed just like they were. I have a video that depicts a modern-day approach to Mary as a woman of today's time. And as you watch it, I'd like for you to realize that you are just like she was. So let's watch this clip.
Waiting for the Messiah to come for us. My family, our tribe, our whole nation.
You turn it up a little.
I always knew that he'd come, but Well, let's be honest. It's not like I'm from Jerusalem or someplace special. I'm just a girl from Nazareth. And everybody knows that not much good comes from Nazareth. Never has. I thought for sure that Angel had come to the wrong house with his announcement. But if that's what God wanted, well, who was I to tell him he was wrong? And Joseph, well, God bless that wonderful man. He could have joined in with everybody else. He could have had me sent away. He could have even had me killed. But he just never broke the promise to marry me. And so when he had to go to Bethlehem for the census, I was honored to ride by his side. Even with heartburn and bloated cankles and 9 months of pregnancy behind me. You know those women who try different things to induce labor, like going on frequent walks or eating spicy foods? What they should do is go on a bumpy 70-mile trip to Bethlehem. Because not long after I got there, and I'd never done this myself, but even I knew it was time. And with every wave of pain, I tried to ignore the fact that my family wouldn't be there to help me. And that I'd be bringing this baby into the world without the familiarity of home. But when Jesus finally came, I forgot all of that, though. I just wrapped him in cloths and tried to make the most comfortable bed I could for him with the only thing I had, which was an animal's feeding trough. Joseph said I should have been sleeping then, but I couldn't stop staring at him. There he was. The one the angel had told me about. My heart was so full, I couldn't even find words big enough to express it. I know I'm not the first young mother to bring a child into this world. It's always been that way. But as I look down at my son, my Redeemer, I knew that he would change everything because he had already changed me.
Are fearful or have no clue how to do what Christ is asking us to do, we can open to the truth of Emmanuel and say, I have no clue. I'm afraid. Show me. And Emmanuel, God with us, will. In closing, listen to this call to commitment by Elizabeth O'Connor. I hope it helps. The world may be fearful and anxious and weary, but we are not weighted by that world. We are following one who has unfathomable resources and one who makes them available to us and who says, you must set new norms for life so that people can see what life can be. This is your task, your primary vocation. Is to enter into covenant relationships with others who have also met this Christ, to be that new society into which others can be drawn.